This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, last week, the Association of ONC Counties, the American Forest Resource Council, asking the U.S. Supreme Court to review the Obama-era expansion of the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument at the Bureau of Land Management's 2016 resource management plans for western ONC lands in Oregon. And we're going to unpack that and find out more about it with County Commissioner Tim Freeman. This one's a bit complex.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. It is really complex, and it is a body of work that I've been working on literally since I started as a county commissioner almost 9 years ago.
So explain what this is all about. Now, you've got the two different organizations. I know that at points you guys work together on different things and have a lot of similar viewpoints. How did this all evolve?
Well, really, the evolution is that, you know, the Association of ONC Counties started its organization in 1925, and it really does focus on four specific things: legislation, management, education, and litigation. And of course, we're here today talking about the litigation portion. So if you look at the history of the ONC, really since 1937, these lands have been managed for the under the principles of sustained yield. And there's this great history of 50 years of doing that and creating all the values that the ONC Act calls for: clean air, clean water, habitat, recreation, healthy economies, and, you know, with using the sustained yield management principles to do that. The last 30 years, they have not used sustained yield principles, and every one of those other values has depreciated or gotten worse. So the way they manage ONC lands is through what's called a resource management plan. So leading up to 2008, they had worked on a new resource management plan, and it was called the Western Oregon Plan Revision. Some people may remember the acronym, the WOPR. And that plan was worked on for a very long time. It was coordinated with all the different federal agencies and the counties. And of course, environmental interests and others had all signed off on it, and it called for harvesting over 700 million board feet a year, which is just slightly over half of what these lands will produce. And everybody was okay with that. That plan was signed, the record of decision was signed by President Bush, and in the first months of the new President Obama's administration, they withdrew the plan and started the new process. So fast forward up to 2016, counties, of course, had been involved in the putting together the new resource management plan. They were cooperating agents. Some of the first work I did as a county commissioner, I actually started attending the meetings as a cooperating agent. Prior to becoming a commissioner, knew a lot about it. And in the summer of 2016, there was a record of decision made. They picked an alternative, signed that record of decision, and immediately the Association of ONC Counties filed a lawsuit. And the reason we filed the lawsuit, there's multiple reasons, but the main reason is the new resource management plan, the 2016 resource management plan, in our opinion, does not follow the 1937 ONC Act. So there's a conflict between the plan and the management of these lands and what Congress intended these lands to be. And it's very simple what the conflict is. The land, the ONC Act says these lands shall be managed for timber production. It's a dominant use. The resource management plan takes 80% of the land and puts it into reserve. So 80% of the land cannot be managed under the principles of sustained yield. The ONC Act says they will harvest at least 500 million board feet until the sustained yield amount can be established. The BLM has established the sustained yield amount, the annual amount of harvest and growth on these lands, to be 1.2 billion board feet. And again, the law, the ONC Act, requires at least 500 million board feet. The new resource management calls for 206 million board feet of sustained yield management. So those two, for those two reasons, the Association of ONC Counties filed a lawsuit. At the same time, the American Forest Resource Council filed a lawsuit, and they're slightly different lawsuits in that we call for the minimum. We believe the government's obligated to harvest at least the minimum under the ONC Act, the 500 million. AFRC went with the established allowable harvest at 1.2 billion. So that there were some differences in the in that, and we also realized that we had slightly different interests, and the remedy could be different for the two organizations. So that lawsuit started again the summer of 2016. We filed the lawsuit in the Washington D.C. court, Judge Leon, primarily because the ONC Act, which is being violated, was passed by Congress. And we believe that Congress had an intent for these lands to be managed a certain way, and the agency, through their plan, is not managing that in the way that they, in what Congress intended. Now, I want to keep everybody on the same page here. We're not upset with the local people that work at the BLM district. Matter of fact, we work very closely with all four of the BLM districts that manage the ONC and the state BLM director's office. This is really a question of law and whether the ONC Act means what it says.
So this has been going on for 7 years. Legal battles tend to be protracted. This one certainly is. Was this most recent action kind of the next step in things?
Yeah, so we got our ruling. We won this case in the court, and we'll talk about the Cascade Siskiyou Monument case next. But we won the resource management case late in 2019. So it took almost, well, it took a little over 3 years to get through the court. We won that, and we had met with pretty high-level officials, cabinet-level officials in the Trump administration that indicated that they may not appeal the case. They liked the fact that we won the case, and they liked the ruling of the judge. And then, of course, we had an election in 2020, and literally on the last day the federal government could appeal our win, they did, under the new Biden administration. So that pushed us into this Court of Appeals, Washington Court of Appeals, and we were at that level. The two cases were combined, the Cascade Siskiyou Monument case and the resource management case, along with AFRC's two cases on these two issues. So we were all sort of shoved into the same case, and they combined all those cases. We did argue those cases in front of the Court of Appeals, and we had our attorney and their attorney. We split time, and we worked on that, and we had a panel of judges, one of which was appointed by Jimmy Carter. So some of these judges had been there a long time, and they asked really strange questions like, do these lands still meet the definition of timberlands? So questions that were really odd to what we were arguing, and with that panel of judges, we lost that appeal, and so now we are moving to the next step. And it made a lot of sense because they have combined these cases with the industry, which, again, the industry's been good partners. But at the beginning of this, we felt it important that there was two separate entities working on it. Now, the way the courts have combined the case, we have partnered with AFRC. And when I say partner, we're partnered in decision-making, we're partnered in strategy, we're partnered in financing the case, and we're, you know, partnering in trying to figure out the best way to maneuver through this. What you recently saw was a press release from AFRC announcing the request to the Supreme Court for them to hear this case. And we continue to believe, both the AFRC and Douglas County, I'm sorry, the Association of ONC Counties and Douglas County, that we have a case here that needs to be heard, and that we are in the right position defending Congress in the intent of these lands.
Now, just because you asked the Supreme Court doesn't mean they'll take the case, though.
No, but the second case, the Cascade Siskiyou Monument case, is pretty interesting, and because they've combined the cases, we're asking a question that has never been asked, which is pretty rare in statute and law. So the Cascade Siskiyou Monument expansion occurred in the very last short time that President Obama was in office. And when that happened, they expanded that monument and took ONC land into the monument expansion. We had a solicitor's opinion from the Department of Interior that said that was not legal. So we honestly didn't think we were going to have to file a lawsuit. We spent a little time meeting with the federal government and explaining that, you know, their own attorney, the solicitor who's the attorney for Department of Interior, had said that these lands were designated by Congress. Therefore, a monument designation using the Antiquities Act would not allow the president to take these lands into monument status. And that question of law is pretty important. If you look back at the history of monument designations, it's really around, most of them are around a something that they're trying to, you know, save a historic fort or a certain sort of archaeological importance. This is kind of interesting. This one is they're trying to make a monument for biodiversity. So it was kind of a weird monument designation anyway. But because these lands had already been designated by Congress for a different use, you have this conflict between the ONC Act, a congressional act of law, and the Antiquities Act. So the question is, again, we're defending the congressional intent of the land to be used as ONC land, to be managed under the principles of sustained yield, and now a president comes in using the Antiquities Act and overrides a congressional intent, and we don't believe the Antiquities Act was put in place for that reason. So on that issue, and you can tell from the AFRC press release, that should be a ticket to the Supreme Court, because there literally is no case law on this. We have great case law on the management of the ONC lands. We have a Headwaters case and Home Builders case and historical litigation around managing an ONC, but we don't really have anything around this Kaskiskia Monument. So we're very hopeful, and there's other court rulings that are conflicting. So this case is very important, but it's also very unique. And usually the Supreme Court looks for cases that are unique in law that have not yet been settled by the lower courts.
All right, more on this when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250. Lars Larson coming at 1. County Commissioner Tim Freeman with us talking about a case that is hoped to be tried by the U.S. Supreme Court from the Association of ONC Counties and the American Forest Resource Council. Now, you've got a kind of a history of lawsuits here with all of these things. Talk more about that.
So, part of the problem with the 2016 resource management plan, like I said earlier, you know, it does not allow for sustained yield management on the lands. I talked about 80% of it being in some kind of a reserve. Part of the problem with that reserve is that after catastrophic events like fire or big storms like our Snowmageddon, the BLM's prohibited from going in and salvaging the timber. So you end up with these massive fuel loads for the next fire because they're not able to clean them up. And again, on the ONC, they have this tremendous history. After the Oxbow fire and after the Columbus Day storm, they went in and cleaned up these forests and replanted new forests, and they're healthy and beautiful. And with this resource management plan, you can't do that. And that's just tragic. The other problem with the resource management plan is they didn't coordinate with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So of the 20% that's left for the BLM to manage for sustained yield, about 40% of that has a critical habitat designation for endangered species. So they didn't even bother to agree between the BLM plan and the Fish and Wildlife Service what the best habitat was. So having two different different agencies not even coordinate what they believe the habitat needs are is a mistake. Now, we did get the critical habitat overturned with the Trump administration, recognizing that the resource management plan should be the document where you declare the habitat needs for the land, and that was all taken care of with President Trump and his team. And when the new administration come in, they failed to apply that new rule and went through and rewrote a different rule, which put, you know, this critical habitat designation back on the 20%. So again, really, it's not the local BLM management folks' fault. Those employees are doing the best they can, but this plan is just so skewed towards no active management and not allowing them to do sustained yield. And the trouble with the Cascade Siskiyou Monument is if you allow a president to override monument congressional designation with a monument overlay, you can have presidents do all kinds of strange things with monuments. You could have a pro-harvest president put a monument on top of a wilderness area that Congress has designated, and then have a forest management plan as part of that monument designation. So again, Congress is the body that should decide what the purpose of these lands should be, and the managing agencies, you know, should manage under that designation. And the president should never be able to override Congress on what they've decided that land should be managed at. And that, you know, that nuance is really important because it can bite both ways on this monument designation. And we're seeing that really across the United States, where different presidents are coming in and doing these monuments that far exceeded any intent of the Antiquities Act. And I would suspect that Congress needs to tighten up or revisit the Antiquities Act. It's over 100 years old. And again, this is the first time this question's been asked at the Supreme Court level. We think it's pretty important to be answered.
So you've asked the question, you filed the joint petition. Is there an expected timeline for a response?
So, of course, as you might imagine, we asked that of our attorneys. These attorneys are very expensive. The gentleman that we have and the firm we have hired specializes in these environmental Supreme Court cases. He actually has won a couple pretty important cases, around these that affect the entire country at the Supreme Court level. So what you hear when you ask them how long it's going to take is they'll just tell you it's really up to the court. So there's no known time that we can say, but we're hoping it'll happen sooner rather than later.
And I would imagine that maybe, I'm trying to remember now how the court lines out segments of the year for when they do that. I don't know if a decision about cases to be tried or to be considered next year would be coming at the end of this year. They kind of work on really their own timeline.
They do. And they you know, it's not first asked, first in. It's they sort of pick and choose. And not every case that's asked to be heard by the Supreme Court is heard. And again, we have some other cases around that are examples of why we think they should hear it. There's cases going on in the Ninth Circuit Court that are different than cases in other courts around the country, and there's some conflicts, and we've demonstrated that in our appeal to the Supreme Court.
So how does all this impact lands that are in Douglas County?
So, again, these are ONC lands that are only in Western Oregon. There's 18 counties that have portions of these lands, these ONC lands. Both the Cascade Siskiyou Monument and the entire resource management lawsuit affect Douglas County more than any other county, because the timber harvested and sold in the market, Douglas County gets a portion of those receipts, gets the greatest portion of the receipts, regardless of where the timber's harvested. And that is a difference between Forest Service and other types of lands that are managed. The formula for the distribution of timber receipts is set and doesn't change depending on where the harvest occurs.
So what's ahead now, other than waiting for the Supreme Court?
So we continue to work on those other things that are important things of the Association of ONC Counties. And we've worked very closely with the state office and the local districts to make sure they are maximizing what is allowed under this resource management plan that's currently in place. And they have done a very good job over the last few years of meeting their goals. And when they meet their goals, it actually produces more timber receipts. to ONC counties than what the rural school program produces on the ONC. So, you know, the ONC, the rural school act expired October 1st of this year. So we are back on timber receipts. So, you know, working with the managing agency, making sure that we're responsive when they're asking for input, that we come alongside them when there's challenges to the work that they're doing, and support them actively and responsibly managing ONC lands is an important part of what we do every day.
All right, we'll continue to follow it. County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for being on.
Great, thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.